Hello and welcome to Classic Clappercast, your monthly discussion of classic films. I'm your host, Carson Tamar. Today I am joined by the lovely Niccolo Grasso. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing really good. Had a good day. Went out with the family the first time since, I don't know, over a year, definitely, all together. So it was a good day well spent and watching some good movies that I'm excited to talk about.
And Jakob Flash, how are you doing, Jakob?
Hi, I'm doing well, thanks very much. You know, had a nice day, sun's out, doing a long weekend. I've taken a day off work, a week off work. It's, you know, all's well.
Yeah, so first off, if you are listening to the full version of this, thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. If you're listening to the preview version of this, you can get the entire podcast on Patreon for only $2 a month. You get this and monthly Clapper debates. This month was about Christopher Nolan. We did a very, very deep, deep dive into his filmography, talking film by film. It went very long. I'm not going to scare you by saying the length, but you have plenty of bang for your buck. So for $2 a month, patreon.com/clapperltd. And if you are listening to the Patreon version, thank you so much for donating and thank you so much for supporting. I know $2 might not seem like a lot, but genuinely that goes a long way when it comes to paying our writers and keeping the lights on. So thank you so much for doing that. With that said, let's get into the film. So today we are talking about films that tie into F9, Luca, and The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. And first, let's start things off by kicking this podcast into high gear. Let's start off with 2001's The Fast and the Furious.
Go for a little ride.
This is yours, but if you win, you get her too.
What the hell is that all about?
A business deal that went sour. Plus, I made the mistake of sleeping with his sister.
Dominic Toretto is a Los Angeles street racer suspected of masterminding a series of big rig hijinks. When an undercover cop named Brian O'Connor infiltrates Toretto's crew, he falls for Toretto's sister and must choose a side, the gang or the LAPD. Jakob, why don't you kick us off with a Fast and the Furious? Did this grind your gears, or did this leave you on the side of the road cold?
Well, if you put it that way, I think it's both. Because, I mean, I don't want to sound like Nick, because, you know, I don't want to just go and say I have a long history and it goes back to a video game. But I did see it, like, I don't know, once when it originally released. And the Fast and the Furious series was weird at the time. And I think I lost interest after the third one. And apparently I made a big mistake, because apparently this is when it gets better. But I was watching this week. I think I was watched it last Sunday. And I was I'm just thinking to myself, this, like, if I were to be very cynical, this is like Point Break reenacted by South Park characters. Like, we're a Point Break, but made by indie filmmakers who could not afford Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves. Because, let's be honest, it is essentially that. It is Point Break with cars. And it is kind of like, I'm watching this, and it's a very strangely sort of put together film, because it's, it has a very distinct aesthetic and has a very distinct energy. And then you kind of have to get used to it. And it took me a very long while to get used to it. And for the longest part, I would say I was not happy with what I was seeing, because, you know, like, it is a very problematic film, because it's kind of very old, like, women are kind of over-sexualized in there. Everything's kind of lurid. And then stylized bits are kind of just, they look like they're like straight out of the early 90s. But the film redeems itself in the sort of last, the big set piece with a truck, which it basically then reveals itself as a love letter to Mad Max as well. and I'm, or The Road Warrior to be exact, I think. And I'm just thinking, yeah, I like this. This is the bit of the film that kind of sells me on this. And then once you kind of just make this switch in your head, then everything else starts making a bit more sense, and you kind of just start being a bit more forgiving, but because you start seeing the film through a lens that you think maybe the filmmakers saw this and the actors were, and well, the acting that's kind of crap all of a sudden kind of looks like it's quote unquote crap on purpose or stylized crap, and it just makes it becomes a bit more charming. So I think, let's just put it this way, like my opening sort of impressions are kind of like that. And you know, it's a charming pile of schmaltz that kind of redeems itself in a stunning way, only to just then just go into a whole new dimension. Let's just put it this way.
Nick, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm sorry to say, I'm going to disappoint everyone with this. I don't have a history with the Fast and Furious franchise. It comes as a shock, I know, but there's no history here. I just never got into it. Not in like a wanting to be engaged way, literally in just, I know it exists, just sitting there, you know? I never really approached it. I was super confused because, for instance, one of my classmates when I was in middle school wanted people to call him Toretto, which in Italian kind of means small bull. And I was confused, like, why would you want to be called that? And I was like, oh, okay, Fast and Furious, that's Vin Diesel. Okay, I get it now. For the love of me, I don't know when I watched these movies. I know I watched them in like 2013, I want to say, like all of them up until that point, but I don't remember anything. So in a way, revisiting the Fast and the Furious was kind of a fresh watch for me. Knowing the ripoff, basically, of Point Break, it's like you said, it's basically an unofficial remake of it in many, many ways. It's a wonderful 2001 film. It just has everything that was good and god awful about that time. The CGI, it's so weird because you mentioned the truck chase, which is honestly, like, I don't want to say mind-blowing, but it was so good. It's just like so engaging, thrilling. You felt it. It was real. I would say almost entirely practical as well, which is incredible. But then you have these ridiculous race scenes where they almost make Speed Racer look like a documentary. Just like, what is happening here? Just everything passing by and this weird motion blur on the cars and on the background. It's like, but you know, I thought it was a good ride. I always have a soft spot for movies like this. Not necessarily tongue in cheek. It takes itself very seriously in a way that gets more and more endearing as it goes on. I think the opening is horrible. Like the first 20 minutes, I'm just confused. But then when it's like, oh, okay, it's an undercover cop and there's family involved, I was like, okay, now I can get behind this. I can get behind this in a weird way. And we'll definitely get into it later, but I'm shocked this became the juggernaut franchise that it is. Judging by its origins, it's just like, okay, but here we are. 9 movies deep, actually 10 if you count the spin-off with whoever's like Jason Statham and The Rock. So yeah, what a franchise.
Y'all, this movie slaps. I'm not even playing. Here's the thing. I've not seen the Fast and Furious movies, but I have a history with them. My older sister loved like 2 types of films. She loved terrifying horror films, which she would make me sit through way too young, as like I cried in fear, which is why I don't do jump scares. And she liked the Fast and Furious movies, and I never saw them with her, but I know she like loved these films. I remember like we went to Universal Studios and we had to do the whole Fast and Furious thing. Like big part of like my childhood and relationship with my sister was like her love for these films and her like explaining them to me. It was great. But I haven't seen these films. I, a couple years ago, tried to watch them, didn't make it through number 2. It just wasn't the right time. I just wasn't, you know, giving, I think it was more of like how I gave them the time. Like I was watching them when I was tired and it just wasn't working. So before F9, my local theater once a week is playing each one of the films in theaters. So I was like, you know what? This is a dumb franchise. I might as well give it the best chance possible to succeed. So I went to see the Fast and Furious. And I'll say I'm only through the first 4 right now. I would be through the first 5 if it wasn't for a certain recording yesterday going very long. But I saw this movie and it slaps. It's not great, right? Like, it's not like technically, well, great, you know, like it's not like a masterpiece, like it's not Lawrence of Arabia, it's no Jaws, right? But like, it is fantastically fun.
If you're hearing me now, you're listening currently to the free preview version of June 2021's classic ClapperCast. If you want to listen to our full discussion, not just on The Fast and the Furious, but also Ponyo and The Conjuring, as well as get access to the previous classic ClapperCasts, as well as monthly Clapper debates. This month's was a deep dive, basically, into Christopher Nolan's filmography. We basically reviewed every single feature of his. If you want access to all of those, make sure to go to our Patreon for $2 a month. You get access to at least two exclusive podcasts per month. There might even be some more bonus stuff coming out on there shortly. So do check it out, patreon.com/clapperltd. As I mentioned, you get the full podcast today, as well as all those previous podcasts, only for $2 a month. Thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you right here on both Clapper and ClapperCast and Classic ClapperCast, all the above.